You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now, don't forget to say you will, don't forget to say yeah,
say you will,
say it right now, baby,
say you will,
come on,
say you will,
say it better,
say you will,
come on.
That's about how Keith Alexander and I sound every week when we come into the studio. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast. It is still a joy and still an honor to be able to do this show even after 18 years. We still look forward to it with enthusiasm and vigor. Welcome to the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's TPC, James Edwards, Keith Alexander. It's Saturday evening, February the 19th. And I want to say a quick word about last week's show, because we got something in from Sam Dixon, who was tuned into the ladies last week for the Valentine's Day broadcast, and he sent us a jewel from our literary heritage. And this is the message that Sam wrote. Sam says, "A profound sociobiological truth from a once famous but now forgotten white male Anglo-Saxon named William Shakespeare that is pertinent to the subject of your program with the ladies." And his quote was from Shakespeare, "From fairest flowers we desire increase, that thereby beauty's rose may never die." Well, thank you, Sam, for that. Sam, that is one thing you can count on, Sam. He has something like that for every occasion. He is a true sage. And you'll be hearing more from Sam on this very broadcast as the year rolls on. He is always a regular guest and very much a fan favorite and a favorite of mine as well. And I want to thank the ladies again last week for a very encouraging broadcast. And it leads me to believe, Keith Alexander, that we're going to win this thing in the end, and not just in the spiritual sense. I think that the left has committed itself to a culture of death and despair. And traditionalists and fundamentalists are the ones who are reproducing. We talked to several ladies last week who are having above replacement level fertility families, sized families, and who have hope for the future. And I think one day the pendulum is going to swing back. I think it's going to swing back hard. And who knows? Maybe Christian fundamentalists and Muslims will be all that's left at the end of the day. But that's the point. We don't know. This whole thing, this woke culture, as they call it, this anti-white culture, this anti-family culture, it's only been around for a few decades to the extent that it exists here here at present day. And so the ramifications of that haven't yet taken its toll. So we'll find out who's having the children of the future. That's the point. We'll find out. We'll find out together. We got a great show tonight. Paul Fromm with another update from Canada. Peter Brimelow with a very important update of VDare.com. He has got a hugely important case that he's trying to present to the Supreme Court. We'll learn all about it tonight and why the Supreme Court must hear this case. Busy show tonight. With that said, Keith Alexander, how are you, brother?
Doing great, my friend. Good to hear your voice.
Well, always good to hear yours as well. And so a lot of things are going on right now. COVID seems to be on the way out. Various nations and regions and municipalities are now loosening these restrictions. Even the Oscars and Disney World, for goodness sake, are doing it, looing away with vaccine mandates and masking mandates. I think within the next few days, this is going to be something that even health authorities are going to say. They're going to inform us that the pandemic is over and COVID is going to be just something we have to learn to live with, like the flu. That's, again, of course, a catalyst in this whole thing we've been seeing with the Freedom Convoy up in Canada. Again, Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, will be back with us for the second time in 3 weeks to give us an update on how that has played out. Big developments up there with Trudeau really cracking down on freedom. They're all for diversity, but not for diversity of opinion, apparently. And we'll see what Paul has to say from the ground up there in Canada, the frozen ground in Canada. But a lot's going on, Keith, as it always is. A week in between shows always fills up our reservoir, does it not?
It does. And, you know, isn't it odd that suddenly Canada has become the epicenter of white nationalism in the world? But, you know, it's always good to see our people spontaneously reacting to tyranny like this and winning, which is what's happening in Canada. That's why it's such a big story. You know, it's kind of like a man bites dog. You know, for a change, it looks like we are getting at least reasonably sympathetic media coverage on this. And the left establishment, the leftist establishment, is again demonstrating just how evil they truly are in their reactions to these truckers.
Well, you know, it's getting negative coverage, you know, by the usual suspects. But I think what is going on, and to your point, is it has gotten a lot more public support from people above and beyond, I guess you could call it our station, or the station of the average man, the average Joe, the working class guy. Usually we're there fighting for ourselves and fighting alone. This has gotten some support from quasi-elites, at least, and even some celebrity support. Not that that's important, but it does go to show that there is a little bit of a different feel this time around. And, of course, if you're fighting for freedom, you are immediately a white nationalist or a white supremacist. They're certainly calling these people that. They happen to be white because they're in Canada, and there's a lot of white people up there. We don't call it the Great White North for nothing. But it would appear as though this thing could be on its last stand, or on the last days of it all. But again, that's what we're going to be learning from Paul Fromm, and I look forward to learning that along with the rest of the audience.
Well, so-called conservative politicians, both in America, Canada, and elsewhere, I think are realizing that there is gold in those hills, that basically if they mine the vein of white advocacy and back white advocates, that it's going to have a positive effect on their electoral prospects. And I just hope that they legitimately are embracing this. I think that the left has badly overplayed its hand. It's like they got panicked by Trump's election, and they decided that the next time we got in charge, we're going to throw caution to the wind, damn the torpedoes full speed ahead. And they have shown their true authoritarian, tyrannical selves to the world, and the world is aghast at them, and more and more people are flocking to our standards. So I see this as a big plus. You know, it was wonderful. It was a godsend that Trump lost the last election. Otherwise, none of this would have happened, this great awakening that we're seeing right now, as indicated by the truckers' protest in Canada. And I understand they're getting a copycat. They're getting copycat trucker protests in Europe and France and in America. And
well,
Australia.
That's what you certainly want freedom to be contagious, and so many things are contagious. Courage is courageous, and so is cowardice. I've learned that and seen it throughout my life and throughout my career as an activist and an advocate. And so we want the positive attributes of humanity and mankind to proliferate, and as you said, there are some pockets of resistance that have propped up outside of Canada, but there's no doubt about it. Canada is center stage and has been for the last month with regards to this, and it has been wholly inspirational. But we are a band of brothers that transcends borders, and even all the way down to South America.
Yeah,
I'll tell you about this, Keith, but we have new bumper music. We're getting a whole new facelift. Let's take a listen. We'll be back in just a second. Our first break of the night. Stay tuned.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Well, this is something we're excited about. For the first time in about 10 or 15 years, we're getting all new intros and outros and bumper music. We're getting a nice little audio paint job here on TPC and some new ads as well. And it's all going to bloom. It's blooming now, as you can hear, but it'll be in full bloom by the time we kick off our first quarter fundraising drive in 2 weeks. And of course, that runs during the month of March. Keith, very quickly, speaking of support we receive, whether it be financial or prayerful or emails, encouraging letters or correspondence. The nations that support us the most, of course, we get most of our support from right here in the United States. But beyond that, the UK, Canada, Brazil, and Australia. That would be the top five. And yes, I said Brazil. And one of our Brazilian listeners wrote a very great email this week. He wrote, James, just so you know, I'm reading That Devil Forest. My God, the man was a myth. So many inspiring stories and so much bravery. His history is like listening to TPC. You get your blood boiling and also enjoy some really good laughs. And that's certainly part of our charm, I guess you could say, but so good to know we have friends and brothers all the way down in Brazil who are reading about Nathan Bedford Forrest and tuned into the show tonight. Here's one from a little closer to home in Maryland. James and Keith, going on 2 years of this COVID pandemic, will the fight against the government excesses of the response to the pandemic ever end? Will the fight against the toxic culture targeting European peoples ever end? Thanks for fighting tirelessly for the European family. That comes from yet another Keith, this one in Maryland. Now, that said, Keith, another one of our good friends, Nick Griffin, emailed me just before the show, and he has a brand new article out on a topic you want to cover this segment. And the title of the article, as it appears in Sputnik International, is, or the headline, Ukraine Implementing Minsk Accords and Ending Conflict, Very Last Thing the U.S. and the U.K. Want, ex-MEP, Member of Parliament, says. That ex-MEP is Nick Griffin. We're going to put it up on Twitter right now. You can go read it as Keith breaks it down. Keith, you haven't read the article from Nick yet, but what do you see as you look over there? What's the geopolitical landscape forming? It's an ever-shifting sand.
Well, I don't see either the Ukrainians or the Russians as bad guys in this. The Ukrainians are kind of like the Southerners. They have had a kind of overbearing, larger neighbor that has meddled in their affairs to some degree in the past. But the Ukrainian language and the Russian language are mutually understandable to each other. It's basically Ukrainian is just a dialect. the people are racially the same. They have, in fact, Ukraine is the most homogeneous, the poorest white nation. And because of their poverty, they haven't attracted a lot of interest from the usual suspects and others, even though they have a Jewish prime minister now, or a government leader, president, whatever they call him over there. What Putin is trying to do is very understandable. It's exactly what the United States did in the Cuban Missile Crisis in the early 1960s under John Kennedy. Kennedy wanted guarantees that there would not be nuclear missiles placed in Cuba right at our doorstep threatening America. Well, Putin has the same feeling. Kiev is just 300 miles from Moscow, and it has a long border with Russia, and he doesn't want Ukraine joining other former Warsaw Pact nations like Poland and Hungary and others joining NATO. NATO was the Western response to the Warsaw Pact, which were separate nations that were aligned with the Soviet Union back in the days of the Cold War. Of course, all of that ended. The Warsaw Pact ended in 1991. NATO, but the American president at the time, George H.W. Bush, promised Gorbachev and others that there would not be any expansion of NATO into former Warsaw Pact countries. Well, when they started to join NATO, the Russians complained, and just like a bunch of kids on the playground, the United States said, well, you didn't get it in writing. Okay. Shows you how honorable our leaders were, but it's very understandable that that's what Putin wants, and that's all that Putin wants. Of course, Joe Biden is hungry. He is just, you know, salivating at the prospect of an invasion so he can deflect attention from his dismal domestic policy record as president and put the attention on the bad Russians. Now, why are the Russians bad, but the Chinese not so much? Well, could it be that Biden's crime family was getting money from Ukraine and from China, but not Russia? And Russia has an economy that's one-tenth as large as China, a population that's approximately one-tenth as much as China. And China really is threatening Taiwan a lot more than Putin is threatening Ukraine right now. He is massing troops on the border to try to get a reaction, and the reaction he wants is a promise in writing this time from the United States and from NATO that they're not going to expand into adjacent nations like Ukraine and Georgia and things like this. Now, see, Ukraine was not really a separate nation. It was part of the Soviet Union, which pretended to be a confederacy of different nations. We dealt with it in the United States when I was a kid, basically as if all of this, the Soviet Union and Russia, were synonymous. But there is a long history. For example, Nikita Khrushchev, you know, the guy pounding his shoe on the desk saying, "We will bury you," back in the late 50s in America when he came to visit the premier of the Soviet Union. He was a Ukrainian. What they're hoping for is, see, what we did too, we had what they call a color revolution about 10 years ago and replaced a pro-Soviet ruling leadership in Ukraine with a pro-Western leadership. And that type of meddling in elections, you know, we're always hearing the Democrats complaining that the Russians meddle in our elections. Well, they don't, not nearly to the degree that we meddle in affairs directly affecting them, like a regime change in Ukraine. This is something that is not being reported on by the mainstream American media, and they're still relying on this thing, Russia bad, all the time. Well, isn't it strange? Russia, under the czars before the Bolshevik Revolution, was bad. Then, when they became the Soviet Union, they were good, and now that the Soviet Union has fallen, they're back to being bad again. What's the difference? Well, the difference was the Soviet Union was run by Jewish Bolsheviks, and the Jewish power brokers in the West, England, Western Europe, the United States, wanted us to have good terms with them. Remember, communist was like a synonym for Jews back then, And, for example, Joe McCarthy, had to be very careful and not mention Jews and communists in the same sentence. But the communists were, for the most part, Jewish. 75% of the communist parties in Europe before World War II, 75% of their membership was Jewish, typically. So the Jewish power elite, Jewish power and influence in America definitely sees communism. If a nation is communist, all of a sudden they are good and righteous. You might see Hollywood movies like the 1966 classic, The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, belittling Americans that were afraid of the Soviet Union back then. They weren't afraid in Hollywood because they knew their kinsmen were running the show over there. Then suddenly after the Soviet Union disbanded in 1991 and you went through a brief transition period with Yeltsin and then Putin got in, now they don't feel like they're in quite the same control position they were in before. And again, Russia has become the bad boy. Don't fall for it. Russia is a white nation. We are a white nation. We have a lot more in common with the Russians than we do the Chinese. And we need to keep that is the foundational information that you need to know about this. Russia is not necessarily good in all ways, but they're a lot better than the Chinese for the interests of America long term.
Thank you, Keith, for that. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Paul Fromm, more from Keith Alexander in the third hour. Check Keith on Patrick Ryan Show, patrickryanshow.com.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There's reports of ongoing shelling in Russian separatist-controlled areas of Ukraine. Some say it may lay the groundwork for a Russian invasion. President Biden said the chances of it happening soon are very high.
High chances will happen in the next several days.
Biden says Russia is moving more forces in, not out, of areas surrounding Ukraine, like the Kremlin says, and that Vladimir Putin is trying to create a pretext for an attack.
We have reason to believe that they are engaged in a false flag operation to have an excuse to go in.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken explains.
We are laying it out in great detail with the hope that by sharing what we know with the world, we can influence Russia to abandon the path of war and choose a different path while there's still time.
This is USA Radio News.
You know, I've told you how much my feet hurt from time to time, and I've also told you how much I enjoy getting to work because right here under my desk I have a pair of my slippers, Mike Lindell's new invention with patented fill, the MyPillow fill that, you know, he works in the pillow so well, comfort memory foam, patented impact gel, and it has an indoor-outdoor sole for all-day use. Right now, they are on sale. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, you will see MyPillow slippers at 50% off, but only for a limited time. Plus, you'll get Mike's softcover book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Use my promo code USA. Savings on overstock items too at MyPillow.com.
Police have arrested more than 100 protesters involved in the so-called Freedom Convoy demonstrations in the Canadian capital of Ottawa, which officials said turned violent. The convoy protests began in late January and were initially focused on the Canadian government's vaccine mandate for cross-border truckers. But now it's expanded into a broader movement against public health measures to limit the spread of COVID-19. On Friday, police arrested more than 100 people and have had 21 vehicles towed in Ottawa. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act to allow the government to expand measures to end the protests and pointed out to CNN that some people in the U.S. are funding the protesters. Officials in the U.S. are also concerned about a potential trucker convoy protest ahead of President Biden's State of the Union address on March 1st, according to CNN. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We have now back with us one of my all-time favorite guests, very good friend of ours, and truly a warrior for our people, Paul Fromm. Paul is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. He's going to be co-starring this hour when he delivers an update on that riveting fight for freedom in the Great White North. I wanted to have Paul on the show 3 weeks ago to talk about it, and I happened to be doing a remote broadcast in South Carolina that night, so we didn't have the opportunity. And I was afraid it would have petered out by the time we had Paul on, which was 2 weeks ago, but it had only not yet even reached a crescendo even then. And now 2 weeks on, it's still going on, but things have turned. Trudeau is putting the boot to the throat of freedom up there with the Emergencies Act. And to sift through the disinformation and the fake news that you may be getting in the Washington Post and New York Times, we're going to let a man who's actually there and who's got his finger to the pulse of this whole thing tell us exactly what's going on this weekend in Ottawa and throughout Canada. Paul, thank you for being back on with us in such short order, two appearances in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, James, thanks for giving me an opportunity to get information outside of this police state. We are seeing the ongoing communist control or takeover of Canada through, I guess, something close to martial laws, as you mentioned. It's called the Emergency Measures Act, which, among other things, allows the government to steal the people's money from their bank account and compels the ever-willing banksters to cooperate if you've been a person who supported the protests. Now, it's not even clear what constitutes that, because would it be people who supported them before the act was introduced on Monday, or people who support them since? The government has managed to steal the GoFundMe account with the act of collaboration of GoFundMe, which is very leftist. In the end, they had to give most of the money back to the donors, but still stealing the money that was directed to the truckers. There was another fund set up by some religious people. They raised about $8 million, and that too has been frozen. They claim they're going to try to find a way around it to give to the truckers, because they are a decent and honorable group. But imagine the feeling you might have if you say sent a check to Pat Buchanan or a group like Vidair, Peter Brimelow's, and you show up to the bank on Monday morning and you've been told your account has been frozen, orders of the government. One of the bitter ironies is the woman doing this is a woman named Chrystia Freeland. She's the finance minister and the deputy prime minister. Her parents came from the Ukraine. They fled communism. But she is imposing on the nonviolent truckers something very close to the Holodomor, the organized starvation of 8 to 10 million Ukrainian peasants by Stalin in 1932 to 1933. It's a little more sophisticated. But if you can't get to your bank account, James, how do you pay your mortgage? How do you pay your rent? How do you put food on the table? How do you make your car payments? Now, this, of course, you got to understand, is before anybody, a person's being charged with anything, before there's been a hearing, before there's been a trial, before any evidence might be led on either side, and before any judgment. This is absolutely arbitrary. This is why, I don't think we're exaggerating when we say that we have 1.5 feet into communism. It just isn't called that anymore. It's globalism, but it's equally totalitarian. And we're in a battle. And I rushed back to my base here, where I'm staying in southern British Columbia. I was at an amazing protest this afternoon. Those who may know this, British Columbia and the state of Washington will know the Okanagan Valley. On the American side, there's small cities like Tenaska and so on. On the Canadian side, right on the border, there's a small city called Soyuz. All from all up up and down the valley. These trucks and pickup trucks and cars rallied. When I left, I would say there were probably 2,000 vehicles lining the road and people walking around. And, you know, you have no idea what a joyous, almost holiday atmosphere. Somebody set up a sound truck and was playing music. People are talking. You wouldn't see a mask in sight. People are joyous. You know, the government would have you believe the truckers and their supporters are hardcore, you know, some sort of revolutionaries. Well, they are revolutionaries in a way. We want our freedoms back. But that you wouldn't find more decent people. Complete strangers will come up and hug you. It's almost like a 21st century love-in without all the marijuana and stuff. People are celebrating and insisting on their freedom. When you consider those numbers in an area of relatively small population, it's massive. And this is going on across the country. There's mass protests against what's being done to us. A friend of mine, when I visited just before the protest this afternoon, has live streaming. I guess it's some ISP that's not controlled in Canada. Anyway, he was getting videos that people are sending from on the ground in Ottawa. And again, kind, nice people. I saw one old lady last night trampled by the Trudeau's cavalry. She's apparently survived. She was in perched on a walker, and the horse just simply crushed her.
They said it had mounted officers on horseback to walk through these people who were truly peaceful protesters. Now, down here, that's a euphemism for violent anarchists and looters and arsonists. But in Canada, they're truly peaceful, and they're getting run over.
That's absolutely right, and the organizers and the participants said they will be we will be arrested, we will not resist, there will be no violence, and there has been no violence except on the part of the police. I saw a girl, probably a young woman, maybe in her 20s, she seemed to be crying, and a guy came up to her at the protest, this is in Ottawa, with a bottle of water, and he's washing her eye. She'd been maced. She hadn't done anything. Several guys were coming back, and other guys were bathing their faces with water. They'd been maced simply because they got too close to the police lines. And several others said, one guy said, well, I better not get too close. I already have sore ribs from being hit by the truncheons. This is Canada's Tiananmen Square, you know, and Justin Trudeau's model is Xi Jinping. He said on several occasions he envies the Red Chinese because they can get things done. You know, that's right. In a dictatorship, I guess you do get things done. it's enough to make an awful lot of people very, very sad and very, very defiant. We've got two symbols of the protest. If your listeners can imagine a hockey stick, with the blade on the ground, right? Imagine the hockey stick is held the other way with the blade up front. And what people are doing is attaching a Canadian flag to that. And they either carry it in their hands or they attach it to their vehicle or truck. You see, that's become one symbol. Another symbol is a gas can. I guess we used to call them jerry cans, you know, like a plastic container for carrying gasoline. I think just after I was on last time, the police decided to arrest anybody they saw carrying gasoline to help resupply the truckers. So what the inventive people up in Ottawa did was to... everybody was showing up to these protests with one of these cans. Some would have water, some would have nothing, some would have gasoline. And the police were going crazy trying to figure out how to handle that. And that's become a symbol now. I saw a lot of pickup trucks today with several of these attached to the back. Some people were actually carrying them just as a symbol of the protest. And I want to make your listeners to understand very clearly what people wanted. We wanted an end to all the so-called mandates, that is, forced vaccination, forced masking, and people losing their jobs because they would not be vaccinated.
Now, that's what it's all about. I just want to chime in for a point of emphasis. That's what it was about. It was about that and nothing more and nothing less.
Yeah. You know, the name of the protest says it all. The Truckers Freedom Convoy. Freedom.
Hold on right there, Paul. Paul Fromm is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. If you want to follow Paul, Paul's out on the streets every day. Follow him at Twitter. Go to my Twitter handle. Link over to him. He's there at the top of the promo tonight. Canadian Association for Free Expression, their website is at the top of our blog roll at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Support Paul Fromm. We'll be right back. We got one more segment with the one and only.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
We're back with Paul Fromm, ladies and gentlemen, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. Again, his Twitter handle is at Fromm Paul, FromMmPaul, at Fromm Paul on Twitter. And to find his website for CAFE, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, click on the promo for tonight's broadcast, and there it will be linked along with that of our other guest this evening, Peter Brimelow of VDare.com, who will be following Paul tonight. And Paul, Peter texted me just a moment ago and told me to be sure to tell you hello. So I want to give you an on-air hello from Peter.
And a big hello back to him. We've known each other for many, many years.
We like to keep all the good guys together here on this broadcast, that's for sure. Paul, you weren't, of course, scheduled for tonight. You had appeared just a couple of weeks ago. I thank you so much. You are out on the streets every day, and folks, you can see pictures of it. Don't take my word for it. Go to his Twitter, and you can see pictures. Paul is always out there, and he was out there today, and he came in early to get on the broadcast, second time in 3 weeks. And we are so thankful for that. I had to carve out some time for Paul tonight because it appears as though, if you rely on the Washington Post and the New York Times for your daily bread, that this is the trucker's last stand since the emergency acts. And let's be honest, and Paul described very accurately and very well what that is. They're seizing bank accounts. They're freezing bank accounts. They're starving people out to end this thing, to end this fight for freedom. And now the police are going through the streets of Ottawa, so it would appear. And Paul, it seems as though just a couple of days ago, the trucks numbered up to 4,000 in Ottawa. Now they say it's down to a few hundred and dissipating even further. Is this the last stand of the Freedom Convoy?
Well, it will be the last, it will probably wind down the presence in downtown Ottawa. But it will now spread throughout the country. Now, what form it will take, I'm not sure. But today's protests, and it will be mirrored in cities right across the country. These are protests are getting bigger. Last Saturday, I was at a sympathy protest in Toronto. We had probably 20,000 people, bitterly, bitterly, miserable cold day. But people came out. Even though the police did their best to make things difficult, slapping up sudden emergency no parking signs to make it difficult for people to park their vehicles. But people are riled. And, you know, when they see a little old lady perched on a walker, trampled by one of these police, it wasn't a battle. It wasn't as if missiles are flying back and forth, and the police had to defend themselves. This is outright naked aggression, and I think it doesn't sit well with most people to see that done. This is what Trudeau has done to this country. An ironic thing happened on Thursday night. There was a terror attack. Not too far from where I am in British Columbia, in a place in the interior called Houston. And this is where radical environmentalists and some renegade Indians have been opposing the building of a pipeline. And sometime Thursday night, the equipment of the workers was attacked. A lot of machinery smashed and fires lit, which did about over $1 million damage. Now, that has nothing to do with the truckers, and the government has almost nothing to say about that. That is terrorism. But the Trudeau has decided to vilify nonviolent truckers and their legions of supporters. I know some people who have gone 3 weekends in a row to Ottawa. They drive from Toronto, which is give or take about 5-6 hour drive, up there in the morning, back there late in the evening, just to participate. I mean, this is just absolutely unprecedented, James, and it's so important that for people like you and Tucker Carlson to tell the story. And
Let me tell you something, my friend. You should be on Tucker, and because you're the man. You're the man up in Canada. You're the voice, as far as I'm concerned. And I'll say this too. I mean, we of course, as you know, saw some of this during the year of George Floyd, where you had people, I mean, you know, these Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorists just literally burning down cities. And if a police officer made the mistake of arresting them, certainly some multimillionaire celebrity or left-wing activist would bail them out. They'd never be heard from again. That was okay. That was, and not only was it okay, it was completely justified by the media here. And, you know, you didn't see the seizing of their bank accounts. You didn't see the seizing of their assets and all of the things that are happening up there in Canada for a very righteous cause. And let's make no mistake about this. They were not burning down these cities and sacking these police stations because they were so upset over George Floyd. They were doing it because it was entertainment. They loved it. That's what they wanted to do. That's what they want to do. But is it true, Paul, that some of the provinces in Canada have recently relaxed their restrictions as a result, perhaps, of these actions that these freedom fighters have taken?
In many cases, I mean, we were already winning. The provinces of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Quebec, and Prince Edward Island, to one degree or another, have dropped all the mandates, or will within the next few weeks. That's been announced. Oh yeah, many of the premiers are trying to get out from under this one as fast as their two little legs will carry them. And that's good. I mean, the truckers are winning. Look at what the protest has done. We got rid of an affirmative action police hire as chief of police of Ottawa. An utterly incompetent stumblebum named Peter Slowly, who was hired because the police services board wanted to be really trendy and get somebody who could improve relations with Ottawa's minuscule black community. Well, he didn't succeed in that, and he completely bollocked up the response of the protest. We got rid of the leader of the opposition, Aaron O'Toole, who was a waffler, and basically a country club Republican type, who did denounce, met a few truckers, but he also denounced them. I mean, they have to be careful of extremism and all. Well, why don't you just shut up and listen? So that's success number two. Success number three is the fact that suddenly the conversation all across the country is ending these mandates as soon as possible, and in many jurisdictions that's happening. They're scared, but in some ways they haven't seen anything yet. And, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners, like so many Americans who've sent money, you know, would like to help. So I'll tell you what you can do. One thing you can do is to call the Canadian Embassy in Washington or the Canadian Consulate, if you're a major city, you know, like Buffalo, New York, or New York, or New Orleans, or L.A., or whatever. There are a lot of Canadian consulates. Call them Monday morning. And as an American, protest what's going on. Say, how dare you? What is this Cuba North? And just let them hear non-threatening terms your anger. Let them hear the French have a great term called emmerde. Emmerde is well, I don't know if I can use the literal English, but you know, doo-doo. And emmerde means to cover yourself with doo-doo or disgrace yourself. Well, let them know.
Well, and this is an important thing, because one of the things that I've noticed, and we have 2 minutes remaining, and I want to ask you a two-part question. I am ashamed that the Western leaders have not come to the aid of these people. I mean, it is to be expected that they wouldn't. It's always us against the leadership, but it is noteworthy. Now, let me ask you this with 2 minutes remaining. Is it true, as I have heard some scuttlebutt, do you believe Justin Trudeau is Fidel Castro's son? That's number one. And number two, where do you see this going a week from now and 2 weeks from now and into the future? Take it away, Paul. Final word is yours.
Oh, okay. Honestly, I don't know. If you see pictures of Castro in his 40s, at the time that Trudeau's father and his skanky mother, Margaret, who...
You mentioned Cuba North, so yeah. I had to ask. I had to take advantage.
Okay, there are pictures that would seem to show a huge resemblance between Trudeau today and Castro in his 40s. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a firm opinion, but it is interesting. And the second 60 question.
60 seconds remaining. Seconds remaining. Where is this going?
I think you're going to see more mass resistance, and I'm urging people to go to their banks on Monday and have a talk with the bank manager and put it to them. Is my money safe in the bank? don't expect meaningful answers, but we've got to make this system unmanageable. And, you know, this is Budapest 56, and appeal is going out to the free world. Come and help us. So at the very least, get on the blower to the Canadian embassy or consulate in your area and give them a piece of your mind.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And while you're doing that, don't forget to follow Paul Fromm at Twitter. His handle on Twitter is his name backwards, Fromm Paul, F-R-O-M-M-P-A-U-L, there at Twitter. And if you go to the top of our homepage at thepoliticalcesspool.org, scroll down to the promo for tonight, promoting the appearances being made by Paul Fromm and Peter Brimelow, and you can go over to Paul's website. Paul, listen, my wife was going through some old pictures today, and I saw one of me and you from the mid-2000s. You've been with us for a long time, longer than I've been around, but I'm thankful for the many years we have shared this fellowship and this camaraderie, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
And Peter Hibble is up next. So, for the voice of freedom.
Thank you, Paul. We'll be right back.